Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into Angrynomics by Eric Lonergan and Mark Blythe. Published in 2020, this insightful book takes a deep dive into the global crescendo of anger fueling today's political and economic discourse. Straddling the worlds of political theory and social science, Angrynomics not only diagnoses the root causes of this widespread resentment, but also puts forth compelling solutions aimed at alleviating it. Eric Lonergan is a seasoned economist and hedge fund manager, known for his profound commentary on contemporary political issues in reputable publications such as Foreign Affairs, The Financial Times, and The Economist. Co-author Mark Blythe brings to the table his expertise as the director of the Rhodes Center for International Economics and Finance at Brown University, complemented by his role as an educator in international political economy. Blythe's previous work includes the best-selling book, Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, further establishing his voice as a critical thinker in the space. Angrynomics is essential reading for anyone seeking to understand the undercurrents of rage shaping our world. It's especially pertinent for news enthusiasts looking for fresh perspectives on today's political climate. Activists keen on deciphering the dynamics of popular movements, and indeed, anyone concerned about the direction in which the globe is heading. Join us as we explore the insights and proposed solutions that make Angrynomics a beacon for navigating through the tempest of contemporary anger. Angrynomics: How We Can Rearrange Our Economies to Produce More Equality and Less Anger. Introduction. Delve into the heartbeat of economic emotions. From the surface, the global economy appears to be thriving, with gross domestic product, GDP, metrics climbing and productivity reaching unprecedented levels. Yet, beneath this veneer of success, there's a palpable sense of turmoil. Around the globe, streets are filled with the sounds of protest, voices raised not in celebration, but in anger. What's causing this widespread discontent? And more importantly, what does it reveal about the intersection of our financial systems and our emotional well-being? This narrative embarks on a journey to unravel the emotional tapestry woven through the fabric of our economy, exploring the reasons behind the pervasive sentiment of dissatisfaction and unrest. It paints a vivid picture of how economic policies and the actions of major global institutions resonate on a deeply personal level, sparking feelings of stress, anger, and uncertainty that many of us grapple with on a daily basis. As we navigate through this exploration, we uncover insights into how the machinery of the global economy, often compared to an intricate computer system, has been steered off course by those at its helm. This mismanagement has not only led to financial imbalances, but has also fueled various forms of anger, exposing cracks in the societal framework that demand urgent attention. Yet, amidst this landscape of fury and frustration, there lies a glimmer of hope. The narrative doesn't leave us in the depths of despair, but instead guides us toward a horizon of potential solutions. It highlights innovative policy ideas aimed at reining in the current turmoil and restoring a sense of equilibrium. From these discussions, we'll understand why the arrival of new neighbors should not trigger alarm, but foster a sense of community. The analogy of the economy as a complex computer and the crucial role of proper programming for its efficient operation, and the transformative potential of low interest rates in bridging the chasm of inequality. Join us on this enlightening voyage as we dissect the emotional underpinnings of our economic system, scrutinizing its failures and contemplating the paths to a more harmonious and equitable world. Part 1. Harnessing the Dual Faces of Anger for Societal Progress. Imagine the streets of Northern Ireland in 1980, a nation split by its allegiance, its people marred by the anguish of conflict. Fast forward to the uproar in Iceland in 2017, when citizens, fueled by revelations of their leaders' misconduct, demanded systemic change. Then there's Philadelphia in 2018, where victory in the Super Bowl sparked an outburst of destructive jubilation. Though seemingly disconnected, these events are threaded together by a singular potent force, anger. Anger isn't merely a personal sensation, it's a societal catalyst with the power to both unite and divide. The essence of this narrative lies in understanding that anger, when directed rightly, can propel societies toward justice and success. Yet, not all anger is created equal. On one hand, anger gives rise to moral outrage, a collective sentiment ignited when societal norms and virtues are transgressed. Think of it as a communal immune response, protecting the social body against the cancer of selfishness and injustice. This was palpable in Iceland, where the discovery of political deceit sparked a righteous indignation that ultimately led to governmental overhaul. Such is the potential of justified anger, steering us towards rectification and fairness. Conversely, there's a more divisive form of anger, one that begets tribalism. This variety summons us to rally behind the flag of our perceived group, often directing hostility outward at those labeled as the other. It's a reaction born from stress, fear, and a craving for belonging in an increasingly uncertain world. This form of anger has been skillfully exploited in the realm of politics, where leaders like Narendra Modi, Viktor Orban, and Donald Trump have stoked the fires of nationalism, transforming legitimate grievances into a caustic wrath against perceived enemies. By amplifying this us versus them narrative, they've managed to rally support without offering genuine solutions to underlying problems. In the modern tapestry of global issues, identifying the legitimate roots of anger becomes crucial. Such understanding not only allows us to empathize with the aggrieved, but also to discern between the constructive potential of moral outrage and the destructive lure of tribalism. As we delve deeper into this exploration, let's consider the legitimate grievances fueling today's societal anger and how harnessing this powerful emotion responsibly could lead to transformative change. Part 2: Tracing the Roots of Public Discontent, Economic Insecurity, and Political Indifference. Picture this: the year is 2005. You're part of a young couple in Spain, both with stable jobs and a modest savings nest. Excitedly, you dive into the property market, buoyed by a hefty bank loan. Fast forward a few years, the property bubble bursts, your home's value plummets, one of you faces a salary cut, while the other loses their job entirely. To add insult to injury, the bank moves to foreclose on your home, and politicians seem more concerned with bailing out corporations than aiding struggling citizens. This narrative, although hypothetical, mirrors the lived experiences of countless individuals across the United States and Europe following the 2008 financial crash and the subsequent Eurozone crisis. These events were not merely isolated tremors, but rather significant jolts in a long seismic shift reshaping the global economic and political terrain. The resultant landscape is one where the promise of prosperity for all seems increasingly hollow, leaving in its wake a profound sense of betrayal. The crux of this widespread disillusionment lies in two primary factors: a deepening economic inequality and a palpable disconnect with political leadership. As countries worldwide embraced neoliberal economic policies from the 1970s onwards, endorsing tax cuts, scaling back on social spending, and elevating markets to a near sacred status, the chasm between the affluent and the rest has only widened. The stark reality is that globally, the wealthiest 1% have amassed 90% of income gains post-2012, creating a scenario where the rich soar while the majority toil with diminishing returns. This stark disparity is vividly illustrated in the U.S., where the real median income has stagnated for 3 decades, leaving many without a perceptible improvement in living standards. For those in dwindling small towns, this economic strain is compounded by the glaring prosperity of their metropolitan counterparts. Adding fuel to the fire of economic disenchantment is the perceived inertia from the political sphere. The post-Cold War era saw a rightward shift in the political spectrum of many democracies, with governments often scapegoating nebulous entities like globalization for societal woes while flirting with nationalism as an easy rally cry. Such maneuvers offer scant solace to those grappling with genuine hardships, further alienating them from a political system that seems neither willing nor capable of addressing their predicaments. This cocktail of economic strife and political alienation brews a potent form of public anger. As the promises of a secure and prosperous future fall by the wayside, what remains is a populace grappling with a profound sense of injustice, a sentiment that, left unaddressed, harbors the potential to reshape the social and political fabric in unforeseeable ways. Part 3. Rethinking the Fundamentals. A New Blueprint for Capitalism. Envision capitalism as you would a computer system, reliant on both its hardware and software to function optimally. The hardware in this metaphor represents the foundational structures of our society: banks, stock markets, governmental bodies, while the software embodies the prevailing ideological framework that governs the interaction between these institutions, such as the principles of free market liberalism or the tenets of social democracy. Just like a computer, the design and compatibility of capitalism's various components can significantly impact its performance. Some configurations yield stability and prosperity, while others lead to inefficiencies and eventual system crashes that culminate in public dissatisfaction and outrage. The evolution of capitalism can be understood through the lens of this analogy, having undergone several significant reboots since the mid-19th century, each prompted by systemic failures that could no longer be ignored. Initially, capitalism operated on the belief that markets were infallible and state intervention was unnecessary, a setup that chugged along until it produced dire consequences like widespread poverty and the catastrophic economic downturn known as the Great Depression. This period of turmoil necessitated a radical overhaul, ushering in a new age of Keynesian economics post-1945. This model sought balance by bolstering the roles of labor unions and the state while tempering the influence of investors and markets. Though successful in fostering economic growth and bolstering the middle class, it too had its flaws, particularly in generating high inflation and lackluster investment returns. The response to these challenges in the 1970s and 1980s was a shift towards neoliberalism, a paradigm that championed weakened labor unions, deregulated trade, and market-driven governance. While different in its approach, this system also harbored critical vulnerabilities, notably fostering rampant inequality and financial instability that precipitated the 2008 financial crisis. Curiously, the aftermath of this crash did not spark a comprehensive redesign of capitalism. Instead, makeshift fixes were applied and the system was hastily rebooted. This reluctance to innovate or critically reassess the underlying software and hardware of our economic system means that the same inherent issues persist, laying the groundwork for future crises and escalating public discontent. To stave off the cycle of outrage and system failure, a reimagining of contemporary capitalism is imperative. This entails not just minor adjustments, but a fundamental restructuring of the economic machine to ensure its sustainability, equity, and resilience. By learning from the shortcomings of past iterations, we stand a chance at crafting a more harmonious and just economic paradigm capable of addressing the needs and tempering the anger of society. Part 4. Navigating the rapids of change, economic pressures, and societal anxieties. There are days when the world seems to conspire against you. Your car breaks down, leaving you worried about the cost. Your job requires you to master new technologies overnight to stay relevant, and your familiar neighborhood grocery store shuts down, replaced by one that seems to cater to new demographics. These changes, both big and small, feed into a growing sentiment of instability and uncertainty about the future. It's a sign of the times, signaling how economic shifts are shaping our stress levels and indeed our collective anger. At the heart of this societal angst are the economic forces at play, transforming the way we live and work, often leaving us feeling powerless in their wake. Firstly, the pace of the market is relentless, deregulation and technological advancements have set the stage for fierce competition, with companies and, by extension, their employees under constant pressure to innovate or be left behind. This environment demands continual adaptation, whether it's staying late at the office to meet deadlines or taking courses to upgrade your skills, contributing significantly to our daily stress. Then there's the looming shadow of automation. The threat of being replaced by machines or software is not just a storyline for a dystopian novel, but a real concern for many in the workforce today. Despite the lack of conclusive evidence suggesting a massive job loss imminently due to artificial intelligence, the mere potential of such a scenario creates unease and insecurity among workers across various sectors. The focus on the older generation, or boomers, introduces another layer of tension. Having grown up in the buoyant post-war economy, this demographic enjoyed the benefits of affordable education and a vibrant labor market, accumulating wealth and political leverage along the way. In contrast, the younger generations face a more arduous path, grappling with the challenges of securing comparable levels of prosperity and stability. Lastly, there's the contentious issue of immigration. While the elite urban classes may celebrate the cultural enrichment brought by a diverse population, those in areas experiencing economic stagnation often view immigrants as competitors, unfairly scapegoated for broader systemic failures. Despite evidence to the contrary, showcasing the positive economic impact of immigration, opportunistic political narratives paint a different picture, further exacerbating fears and tensions. These economic undercurrents, rapid market changes, the specter of automation, generational disparities, and misconceived notions about immigration collectively fuel the stress and uncertainty that permeate our lives. Each, in its own way, contributes to a brewing storm of discontent, churning beneath the surface of our society, threatening to spill over as we navigate these turbulent times. Part 5. Charting a Path Forward: Redesigning Economies for Greater Equality. As you flick through the channels, the narrative seems all too familiar. Protests unfolding across Europe, heart-wrenching accounts of economic despair from the US, alongside the relentless drumbeat of global warming reports. This tableau paints a stark picture of a world teetering on the brink, spurred on by the current capitalist framework. Clearly, it's time to contemplate a systemic overhaul. But how do we envision a revamped economic system that retains its merits while rectifying its flaws? The truth is, dismantling the entire structure might be overzealous. There are laudable instances, such as Canada and Australia's success in reining in their banking sectors, resulting in tangible benefits like real wage growth. Perhaps the more pragmatic approach involves refining the existing model, preserving its strengths and addressing its weaknesses. What, then, does this recalibration entail for our economies to foster equity and quell the undercurrents of discontent? One of the commendable achievements of contemporary capitalism has been its capacity to maintain high employment levels without spiraling inflation. In our quest for economic reformation, these positives should be safeguarded as we tackle the two significant fault lines: inequality and instability. Addressing inequality necessitates a deliberate push to enhance the wealth and assets of the bottom 80% of the populace. A feasible strategy here involves capitalizing on the historically low interest rates to establish a national wealth fund. By borrowing funds through bond sales and investing in a diversified mutual fund, governments can generate returns of 4 to 6% to be periodically allocated to citizens. This windfall could then support expenditures in housing, education, and healthcare, a model not dissimilar to those adopted by Norway, Singapore, and some Gulf states. Furthermore, while the coordination provided by entities like the European Union is indispensable on a global scale, their one-size-fits-all approach often falls short of addressing localized needs, leaving constituents feeling disenfranchised. The solution? Empower countries and regions with the autonomy to pilot innovative, tailored policies that resonate with their unique demographic requirements and challenges. Beyond these suggestions lie a plethora of other potential reforms ripe for exploration. Imagine a scenario where tech giants are mandated to pay licensing fees for utilizing public data, thereby redistributing wealth more equitably, or envisage central banks offering preferential interest rates to enterprises championing decarbonization efforts. The ultimate aim of these initiatives is to intercept the economic forces that stoke public indignation and personal anxieties. By adopting policies that cast a wider net of benefits, leaders can mitigate collective discontent and steer society away from the precipice of turmoil. It's a clarion call for constructive change, championing an economy that serves the many, not the few, thereby laying the groundwork for a more peaceful, equitable future. Final summary. Despite indicators of economic growth and prosperity in numerous nations, a closer examination reveals a starkly uneven distribution of wealth and opportunity under the prevailing capitalist system. A significant portion of the populace grapples with financial instability and an unpredictable future, echoing a sentiment of abandonment by those in power. In this climate of disparity, the festering anger and frustration can easily be channeled into destructive forms of tribalism, including racism and nationalism, threatening the very fabric of societal cohesion. To circumvent this burgeoning crisis and foster a more inclusive and fair economic environment, a radical reevaluation of our economic strategies is paramount. The introduction of innovative mechanisms such as national wealth funds proposes a means to facilitate a more equitable sharing of prosperity by leveraging historically low interest rates for the collective benefit. Moreover, granting regions the flexibility to experiment with novel policies tailored to their unique contexts could pave the way for more responsive and effective governance. In essence, to quell the rising tide of anger and prevent it from devolving into divisive tribalism, a concerted effort to forge economies that prioritize equity and justice is essential. By utilizing new tools and embracing regional autonomy, we can aspire to build a future where prosperity is not a privilege of the few, but a shared reality for all. It's a call to action for reimagining our economic landscape, one where fairness, stability, and inclusivity are at the heart of progress. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.